Welcome back, everyone. Genesis 4 on our journey through the Word and the sad reality of what the knowledge of evil does to life in our world. It's the story of Cain and Abel, a story of envy, violence, vengeance, and for the first time, death. Yet the story begins with one of the most basic and most puzzling human actions, offering to God. What does it mean to give to God? And what does it take to be accepted by God? Let's dig in at Genesis 4, verse 1. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. So Adam and Eve begin to have kids, probably a lot of them. Ancient tradition says they had 60. Cain and Abel appear to be among the first, but several decades have passed here. So Cain and Abel are brothers, grown men, and living in a fallen world. In verse 2, Abel keeps flocks as a shepherd, and Cain works the soil as a farmer. Then in verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Offering is where this story begins. So what does that mean? Offering means giving back to the Lord. Not that God needs to get anything, but we need to give it. It's sort of like a child giving their dad a present. Dad's money paid for it, and Dad didn't really need it anyway, but that's not the point. The action of showing gratitude is great for the kid's heart. Seeing that gratitude blesses Dad's heart, and the whole experience strengthens the bond between them. In many ways, offering to God works much the same way. Now, Cain and Abel both made offerings, but verse 4 says that the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Cain is mad. You know the feeling when you just can't seem to get anything right. The frustration and anger build up like a weight in your eyes, curling your brow lower and casting your gaze downward, away from eye contact and away from God. That is how Cain feels. But why? Verse 4 says that the Lord looks with favor on Abel's offering and not Cain's. So what is this favor, and why isn't Cain's offering accepted? It's also translated regard. The Hebrew word is sha'ah. It means to look with approval. Picture this favor from God like a father's look when he's proud of his kid. Not favoritism, but the fatherly pride of a good dad in its purest form. There seems to be something built into each of us that desires approval and recognition. It's the reason why kids say, "Mom and Dad, watch this." It's why we crave applause and cherish compliments. Yet this story is about more than just human recognition. It's about the smile on God's face when he looks at us. This is what I want. I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So Cain and Abel both want God's approval. But why doesn't Cain's offering receive it? The book of James tells us that God doesn't play favorites. So why did God accept Abel's offering and not Cain's? The book of Hebrews offers this insight. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. That's it. The difference is faith. And you can see Abel's faith in the way he gave, the best portion from the best of his flock. He believes in God and makes the offering out of sincere gratitude. So he wants to make it the best. As far as we can tell, Cain makes no attempt to give anything special, and he doesn't have faith. So why does he offer at all? Maybe it's the same reason that millions of half-hearted believers walk into church and drop money in the plate every Sunday. I call it dead religion. They know it's the right thing that you're supposed to do, but they miss the heart of it, and without faith, it becomes worthless. Sorry, but God just doesn't have regard for empty, heartless religion. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So Cain's half-hearted offering is rejected. But God isn't ready to lose him that easily. Check out verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." God's warning is serious. See, Cain isn't in sin yet. He's angry, but he hasn't sinned. Yet the Lord knows that danger is close at hand. God gives Cain a second chance. Do right and be accepted. God wants to accept Cain, but if Cain refuses to try, sin is crouching at the door. Now there's a picture. Take a look at the nearest door and imagine sin hiding right behind it, waiting for you. Walk away from God and you will find sin waiting at your next doorway. That sin desires you, but you must master it. How does Cain respond? Verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Take a moment to respect the loss of life. This is the first human death, the first murder. Verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, God doesn't ask Cain because he doesn't know, but he does give Cain the opportunity to confess. Yet Cain plays dumb, as if God doesn't already know. He lies to God. Does he really think he'll get away with it? For that matter, do any of us believe that we'll get away with any sin, as if God doesn't see? Think about it. We stop cheating when the teacher is looking, or stop cussing when the pastor's in the room, but we go right back to it when God is watching all the while. Why? Why do we do it? No faith. Every sin demonstrates a lack of faith and a small view of God. Cain simply didn't have faith. But his question is worth pondering. Am I my brother's keeper? What do you think? Are we? Are we responsible for one another's safety and well-being? It is a question that would echo and reverberate down through countless generations. The Lord responds to Cain in verse 10. "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Wow, now there's a picture. Sin will always find you out. So God punishes Cain, but he mixes justice with mercy. Cain will live, but the ground will no longer bear fruit for him. He will live his life in restless wandering. Remember from chapter 2 that rest is a key Bible theme and a precious gift from God. Now Cain discovers the hard truth. There is no rest for the wicked. The weight of guilt would set on his back as a relentless burden. There is more to the story and the chapter, so read Genesis 4 and consider the offerings that you make to God. Are they prompted by faith or just going through the motions? Consider also your answer to Cain's question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And read on to consider some thought-provoking questions about revenge. The first murder would inevitably lead to the first cries for vengeance, but God makes it clear, vengeance is the Lord's. Yet will the people abide by that? And if Cain's story, his life of restless wandering and guilt, sounds all too familiar to you, then listen carefully to the invitation of Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.